You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm just going to put a little trigger warning for this interview I'm about to play. We do speak about themes of sexual assault and talk about sexual assault survivors. So if that's not your jam, no worries, tune back in about 15 minutes. But if you would like to listen to an interview with writer Connor Amor-Bendel talking about the clitoris conundrum, here it is. I guess in your own words, what is this show about?
The very brief summary is that Pam can't come, who's our protagonist, and she's trying to figure out why and to fix it because she has just fallen really hard for a girl called Ava, and she's had a history of relationships that have ended because she can't have an orgasm. And so that is essentially what the show is about. But in the same vein, it's a huge element that I wanted to explore in this show is friendship and like queer friendship. So her best friend, she lives in a house with a character called Ariki, and he is kind of her support person on this journey of sexual assault trauma, going through ACC, sensitive claims, etc. And those two are like almost in a, you know, platonic marriage situation. And he becomes quite jealous of Ava, this new girl that she falls for. So it's less of a love story and more of a... It's more of a story about friendship and jealousy. This is the second, season of the show. And the first one, I focused a lot more on a pre-existing relationship breaking down due to anorgasmia, which is like the condition where you can't come. But this time, I don't know why. I just kind of like, I realized that I think like queer friendships are so strong sometimes. And like when chosen family is like such an important part of your life and your world. And for a lot of us, I think your chosen family becomes like, you know, everything to you, especially if you have family that don't understand you or accept you. Mine are amazing. I should shout them out. But that's like a very common thing that I've seen. And I've witnessed and like experienced it myself, like jealousy amongst friends when you're getting into like new relationships or people are dating. And I just wanted to explore that because it's not something that I've seen talked about so much.
That's such a relatable thing, especially with queer relationships and friendships that are so intimate, right?
Yeah.
Like even the friendships feel like their own relationships. So when it's like jumping to a romantic relationship, it's like...
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah,
it's sometimes. I don't know. I just thought it was like an interesting dynamic too, because it's like also the way that like sometimes when you do fall for someone, and I know this happens a lot with queer people, you just get so lost in the start of it, like that little like initial love bubble phase. And then you can really, I guess, like let down or not be there for the other people in your life that you're close to. And I just wanted to show that on stage and how that dynamic plays out for these two characters.
So with that queer alliance and chosen family, in an interview you said with Q that writers for a story is their traumatic story or their trauma story.
Yeah.
Is this something that's true to you? Is this show drawing from your own experiences?
Yeah. Yes, heavily. So this was the first play I wrote, and I think I started writing it in 2021. So when I went to the actors program, it is definitely like a trauma story. When I was in my early 20s, I went through the whole ACC process, which was really hard but amazing for me. And I kind of was at drama school and realized, and I guess, I mean, so many AFAB people know this, that like, I feel like every second person you talk to has some sort of harassment-y assault story. It's just so sadly prevalent. And I thought, I realized that I was in a place where I'd done enough work that I could talk about my experiences. And I wanted to write a play that I guess like made people feel seen and understood. And it was really inspired by Michaela Cole's I May Destroy You. It's so good. And I watched that, and it's her kind of like, it's a comedy, it's dark comedy, but it is about sexual assault. And I watched that and went, oh my God, we need something like that here. So that's where it came from. The first version of the play was definitely a lot more like true to my life experience. It was more about like a relationship breakdown. This one is not so much. The protagonist is definitely still like a version of me on stage, but I changed the story a lot and the world a lot. And that's been really nice to do, to not be like so in it. And I'm also not playing the character based on me. One of my besties, and the most incredible actor, Molly Curnow, is playing that character now, and she's doing such an amazing job. So it's really cool.
Do you think there is a stigmatism here in New Zealand about sharing your experience with SA and talking about sexual well-being?
I think so. I'd assume it's everywhere in the world. But yes, definitely. I think, especially when I was younger, it's like the shame associated with it. Like, people will look at you as damaged, perhaps, is the right way to put it. And I think we all live with that, like every SA survivor does. But I really want to like unstitch that shame, because the reality is it's so normal. Like, such a high proportion of women have experienced it, and not even like men too, non-binary people too. It's so common. So why does it still have so much shame attached to it, was, I guess, the point of this show.
Who would you say this show is for if there is a target audience? Is it SA survivors? Is it queer people? Is it kind of both?
I think it's both. And because we got asked to come back for Pride, like, who contacted us for this Pride season, I really amped up like the campy Pride elements of it. I really wanted it, because I know it sounds quite scary, like it's an SA show, but it is a comedy first and foremost. Like, I do think the best way I've handled stuff in my life is definitely like making light of the heavy stuff, you know, like doing the work to process things. But whether it's grief or SA or whatever it is you're dealing with, like, I think finding the humor in things really helps me. So it is a celebration of queerness, and it's a celebration of like reclaiming your sexual power, I guess, when you feel like it's been taken from you.
So what was that experience writing a show that is comedy, but it's like, how did you find the line between how to say something seriously and how to say something comedically?
I think for me, it's the character. There's characters that are like comedic relief in the show, and there are scenes that are comedic relief. So like the way I've written this script is like, I would say almost like a wave, like it's like an up and down. So we'll have moments that really do get you in the gut, and then we'll have moments of just like pure comedic relief. So like there's a character called Sex Shop Steve, and Lydia Buckley's amazing actor. She was in the last season. She plays Steve. So it's like he is drag in a way. And he's just the most ridiculous guy. And all of his scenes are comedic relief. We never talk about the assault itself, because I didn't want audiences to feel too overwhelmed or unsafe. But the way we've done that is through dance and physical theatre and movement. And so those scenes are quite emotional, but they're always followed by something very light. And we have them, if you know Kayla Page, she's the most incredible choreographer. So she does all the movement. And Jessica Pinson, who's Kidu Carlo as well, she's our sound designer. So those like emotional beats of the script, they really do hit, but then they're, you get like an antidote at the end of it, I guess. So you're along for a bit of an emotional ride.
I am curious to know why you chose not to play the character that I guess would represent you in the story.
I found it a bit triggering last season, to be honest. I think also because it was so closely, the character was so like close to me, and the experience were more based off real life. So it did feel a bit like I was like kind of standing in front of an audience, just rehashing my trauma. And it wasn't fun in that way. But what I realized is like, I still loved the show, and people kept asking if we were going to do it again. And I was like, I don't know. And then I kind of, I realized I could just step out of that and let another actor do that. And it's an amazing role. Like, it's like, as an actor, you're always looking for something juicy with like real emotional stakes in it. And that someone could do a beautiful job of that. And I just get to be the like annoying kind of problematic new girl character, which is really fun.
Are there any other changes that you've made from your debut season to this season that you are excited to kind of like almost test this season?
Well, we've got Sean Rivera is directing this season, and Sean is absolutely incredible. So I'm really excited to see it come to life. Like, the rehearsals have been amazing. I think Sean is like, we think our brains seem to get each other, and I feel like they're doing the best job of like bringing this script to life and then also bringing their own ideas to it. And they love physical storytelling, so the dance elements are being like woven through really beautifully. I don't think too much else has changed. The drag song at the end has changed, and we'll not give it away, but it's so good. That I'm still a giant lap dancing vibrator. Do you want to see that? I don't want to give away the drag, but oh my god, it's hilarious. And It's crazy. my friend Nikolai is an amazing actor who I did a show called Literally Dead with, which was a really cool web series. And they're playing Ariki, and yeah, they're just incredible. And also we realized that Molly and Nikolai, who are the two besties, knew each other and have done their, like, one of their first theatre shows together as kids in Dargaville Community Theatre, I think, like over a decade ago. So this weird kind of like...
full circle moment, almost.
Yeah.
Such a... I mean, New Zealand is so small, I'm like kind of unsurprised.
Yeah, so I think... I mean, the soundtrack's different. The Grace Newton is doing our stage and lighting design. So yeah, there are a lot of changes, but in essence, it's the same story.
For more of like an artist specific question, you trained with the Actors Program. How has training as an actor impacted the way you write for theatre?
Yeah, it definitely has. I only started writing for theatre after doing the Actors Program because I'd always like done journalism, freelancey stuff for a job. And I think what I found is that there's like a real lack of stories here that you get excited about. So I just wanted to make more work based in Aotearoa and also more queer work. There's not a huge amount. It's like a joy to get a role that feels like you, if that makes sense. So I think that's it. And then dialogue, like I'm a very dialogue driven writer, and I always get that feedback from people. I love like quick natural dialogue. Like I'm quite inspired by like Lucy Prebble, she's a playwright, or even I think she had something to do with Succession, I could be wrong, but like the dialogue in that show, the way it sounds so natural, that's a big focus of mine. Like I don't want it to sound, I want it to be theatre and theatrical, but I still want it to feel like you're witnessing like a slice of real life on stage.
Why did you choose to tell this story through theatre? Why not film or a novel?
Theatre feels like the most accessible art form in a way, especially for experimental stuff. Novel, I've yet to write one. I would love to. I just did my creative writing master's last year at University of Auckland, and that was so good. I learned so much. But theatre feels like you have the permission to fail in a way, because it's theatre. Like you can, it can be weird and messy. Film, I do have like visions of probably converting this story into probably a series less than a film, but film again is so expensive and much harder. It's not as accessible to make. Like you've got to get all these people on board, networks, funders, producers, la da da da. And I feel like for me, like I can make theatre, I can collaborate with other artists and like test the story on audiences. And then if I know it works, then I can go from there and try and pitch it.
Is there anything you want your audiences or people who maybe haven't come to see a drag show before or aren't super tapped into queer media, is there anything you would like for people to know?
There's so many references to all sorts of queer culture, so I feel like you'll feel right at home if you're part of the community. I guess the one thing I want audiences to know, and we will make this clear before the show, but just because it's a story about SA doesn't mean you can't laugh at the, I guess, like tragedy of it and the things going wrong. We want people to laugh and we want people to see the humor and like, yeah, bad things happening, if that makes sense. We didn't really have an issue last season, but I do think sometimes when the subject matter is like this, people feel like they have to take it really seriously, but it's not a serious show. Like it is definitely supposed to be fun.
Finally, when and where is the show? Where can we find tickets to it?
Yes, it is next Tuesday we open. So the 17th of February at Q Theatre in Loft, and we're running until Saturday. So just 5 nights. So 17th to 21st, Loft. And I think just Google Q Theatre, The Clitoris Conundrum, or Auckland Pride, The Clitoris Conundrum, and you will be able to find the ticket.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.